appreciate the good analogy that Charlie used. He says, what causes a duck to go to the water? It appears a duck doesn't necessarily have to be trained or taught to do that, does it? He says, it's the nature in him. I would agree with that. Now, some scientists here may tell us that we're wrong about that, but right now I agree with Charlie. It's the nature in a duck that causes him to go to water. And so his point is that people sin because they get this nature to sin from Adam. If that's true, what caused Adam to sin the first time? If people... Now, remember, he says a duck goes to water because it's in his nature. He got it from his parents, we might say, the fact that he's a duck. But is that really the truth when it's referring to people in sin? No, it can't be. Because I ask the question again, what caused Adam to sin the first time? Was it because of his nature? No. Charlie doesn't think he had the nature at that time, yet he still sinned. So you don't sin because you have any so-called sinful nature. You sin for the same reason Adam did. Adam can't blame it on his daddy. Adam can't blame it on his forefather. Adam can blame it on himself. He did not sin because he had a sinful nature. That shows that the duck analogy is not analogous. And then I asked you again, and I brought both these points up in my first speech, and he didn't respond to them. If we get our sinful nature from Adam, and that's why we sin, then that would lead to the conclusion that Jesus got his sinful nature from Adam, or got a sinful nature from Adam, therefore he would sin. Remember, we get our sinful nature from Adam, and that's why we sin. If that's true, then Jesus got a sinful nature from Adam, because he descended from Adam physically just like we did. Jesus got a sinful nature from Adam, and according to Charlie, if you have a sinful nature, that leads to your sin. But Jesus didn't sin. That proves he didn't have a sinful nature. And we've already pointed out last speech that he was created just like we are. Even with respect to sin, he was tempted in all points just like we are. Yet he never sinned. Shows that he didn't have a sinful nature. We're just like him. We don't have a sinful nature. Go back to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. If you don't... Well, let me say what he said. He says that the one man in verse 12 is the devil, not Adam. Well, I don't agree, but it's not important in this debate who's identified by the one man in verse 12. If there's one thing in this debate I want you to remember, it's the last part of Romans 5, verse 12. Because regardless who the one man is in the beginning of verse 12, the B part of verse 12 shows that his position in this debate is wrong. It says, so death passed upon all men because that one man sinned, whether it was Adam or the devil? No. Death, talking about spiritual death, passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Why do you sin? Is it because of the sinful nature you got from Adam? Or is it because you sin? I should say, why do you spiritually die? Is it because of the sinful nature you got from Adam? Or is it because you sin? This verse says it's because you sin. That verse should forever ring in your mind. Death, spiritual death, passed upon all men because Adam sinned. No. Death passed upon all men because all have sinned. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, he mentioned the divine nature, and you'll remember he questioned me at the table a little bit, but he didn't have a point there. In the sense that the Bible talks about divine nature, not necessarily in the sense Charlie does, but in the sense the Bible talks about it, we do get our divine nature for Christ. What does that have to do with anything? The divine nature that we receive from Christ is the forgiveness of sins. When you are baptized with the remission of sins and you come completely clean, you have no sin on you, then you're just like Jesus. You have no sin upon you. And in that sense, you partake of the divine nature. You know, Charlie is struggling tonight to try to blame his mine and your sins on Adam. That's really what he's trying to do. He won't say it this way, but that's really what he's trying to do. He's trying to place the responsibility on somebody else's shoulders. We sin because we have a sinful nature and we get the sinful nature from Adam. That means he's trying to blame his sin on Adam. That's not right. God expects you to take responsibility for your own sin. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, it says, the Bible says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Did you notice what Joshua said? Choose who you will serve. Has nothing to do with the sinful nature. It's your choice. You have complete freedom of choice either to serve the Lord or not. It doesn't make it any harder to serve the Lord simply because you're a descendant of Adam. Jesus served the Lord perfectly all his life. He was a descendant of Adam. Psalms 119, verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. You have that choice. If you choose the wrong way, it's your fault. Don't blame it on anybody else. Please don't blame it on the devil. Don't blame it on Adam. It's your fault. Now, the devil tries to tempt you, and even other people will try to tempt you. And they can bear responsibility in your sin, but you are responsible for every sin you commit. Matthew 22, verse 3, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Why wouldn't they come? Because of some so-called sinful nature they inherited from Adam? No, they chose not to. They would not. They were invited, but they did not come. Now, he went to Galatians 5, verses 16 and 17, and that's a verse I brought up in my last speech. Now, he thinks this is talking about the sinful nature. Now, we've already pointed out in my last speech why it can't be talking about this sinful nature. Does anybody remember how we knew that? Because Galatians 5, 16 and 17, Charlie, is talking to and about born-again Christians. Who's the letter written to? Look at Galatians 1, verse 2. It says, to all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. This is not written to people who are unconverted. This is written to and about Christians. And again, just like Romans 7, it's talking about the struggle that anybody has, Christian or non-Christian, that anybody has in trying to face temptation. We all have that struggle. Some sin is pleasurable. God has told us to stay away from it. It's just like a child. We tell the child, you can't play with the toy until tomorrow. Oh, it's a struggle for him. He wants to play with that toy. He's got a struggle. So Galatians 5, 16 and 17 reads, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. So he's talking to Christians. He's commanding them to walk in the Spirit. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's the struggle. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. That's not cannot in the sense of impossible. It's cannot like in the sense of somebody invites me to a wedding and say, and I say, I've got a debate that weekend, I cannot come. It doesn't mean it's impossible. It means I have a conflict. The Bible uses that term that way many times. Now here's the deal. I'm going to repeat myself here. Charlie used this to prove sinful nature, but he's already told us, I questioned him from his seat, a born-again Christian, like the people this is written to, don't have the sinful nature anymore. They've been regenerated. They don't have the sinful nature. How then could this prove a sinful nature when this is talking about born-again Christians? Well, he's already admitted they don't have the sinful nature, yet that's what this is talking about. The struggle that goes on in a born-again Christian's life to avoid sin. He says they don't have a sinful nature. Then how can you use this to prove a sinful nature, Charlie? Next, Jesus, Hebrews 4:15, was, quote, tempted in all points like as we are. That means that Jesus had the same struggle that we do. Now, I didn't say he sins like we do. That's not what the Bible says. He was without sin. I said he had the same struggle that we do. He had the same temptation. It says he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He has the same struggle that Galatians 5 is talking about. That is, the temptation to sin. There could have been sins that would have been appealing to him because he was in flesh, a fleshly body. But he never succumbed to those sins. He faced temptation just like we are. Now that proves we can't blame anybody else. We're just like Jesus in regards to facing temptation, yet we sin. We can't say, well, it was impossible for me to avoid it. No, Jesus proved it's not impossible. He faced temptation just like we are, yet without sin. We can't say it's Adam's fault. No, Jesus was born as a descendant of Adam, yet he faced all the same temptations we do, yet without sin. Jesus proves you don't have anybody to blame but yourself. Because Jesus faced the same thing you do and he lived perfectly his whole life. Every time you sin, it's because you choose to, it's your fault. Don't let Charlie tell you it's Adam's fault. It's your fault. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And we can read a host of verses like this. But God says, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. What is God saying there in a nutshell? He's saying every time you sin, it's your fault, what I'm trying to say in this debate. Every time you face a temptation, God provides a way to escape. He'll never allow you to be tempted above that which you're able to bear. You can always choose to avoid it. He makes a way to escape. It's our fault when we don't choose the way of escape that God provides. It's our fault. Don't blame it on Adam. God gives you a way to avoid the sin. It has nothing to do with any so-called sinful nature that the Bible never talks about. And it has nothing to do with getting something from Adam. Sin is a spiritual struggle, not a physical struggle. We inherit our hair from Adam. We get maybe our hair color from our parents and our eye color, but we don't get sin or any kind of sinful nature from our parents. Remember, we read in Ezekiel 18, the son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. We don't get anything like that from our parents. And then he read Romans 9:22 that we're fitted to destruction. Charlie, are you saying that means that the Calvinist view that we're created to be lost? That's what destruction is talking about there, being lost in the place of eternal fire. Are you saying that, suppose I end up in everlasting punishment, are you saying that God picked my name out before the foundation of the world and created me, that I was going to end up in H-E-L-L and there's nothing I can do about it? That's the Calvinist position. Now, if what you're saying that fitted there means to be created to destruction, that would prove that God created me to be lost and there's nothing I can do about that. I have no free will or say in the matter at all. Charlie doesn't believe that. He doesn't even believe his own argument. Now, let's go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29. This will prove that Charlie's understanding of this passage when it says fitted to destruction is not correct. He basically said it meant we're created sinfully, in a sinful, to be sinful. But what did Ecclesiastes 7:29 say? And, of course, Charlie didn't respond to this. Well, how could he? How could he? It clearly proves his position wrong. Ecclesiastes 7:29, God hath made man with a sinful nature. That's not what it says, does it? What's the opposite of a sinful nature? You know, according to him, sinful nature is why you sin. So what would be the opposite of a sinful nature? Being upright, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be the opposite of a sinful nature, upright? That's what the Bible says. God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. As other translations would say, evil devices. It's talking about sin when you look up the Hebrew word. Not talking about inventing a light bulb or something like that. God made you upright, but you sin. You seek out many devices. That's why you're not upright. If you're not upright, it's your own fault. Now, don't get up here and say, Charlie, this is just talking about God made man, Adam, upright. It's easy to see that's not what it's talking about, because it says God hath made man upright, but he sought out an invention. No, it says, but they, plural, not just Adam, they have sought out many evil devices. That's not talking about the one sin of Adam eating the tree of knowledge and good and evil. That's talking about everybody sinning. I have sinned, Charlie has sinned, everybody in here has sinned. And this verse says that's the reason we're not upright. And the only way you can get back to being upright after you have sinned is the forgiveness provided for by Jesus Christ and His blood and His death. God makes us upright, not with a sinful nature. Now let me repeat again briefly to remind Charlie to please respond to it. Because I believe if I'm keeping up with the speeches right, his next speech is his last speech. I want to know, did Jesus inherit, he doesn't want to use that word, did Jesus get a sinful nature from Adam? Remember, he descended from Adam physically just like we did. Did he get a sinful nature from Adam, like you say that honest people do? Wasn't Jesus honest? Therefore, did he get a sinful nature from Adam? Well, you say the reason we sin is because we have this sinful nature. That can't be so, because Jesus didn't sin. That proves he didn't have the sinful nature. And if he didn't have the sinful nature, then I bring to your remembrance Hebrews 2:14, Hebrews 2:17, and Hebrews 4, that says that he had the same flesh and blood as us, and that we were made he was made just like us. And he was tempted just like we are. So if he does not have a sinful nature, since we were created just like him, upright, we don't have a sinful nature. So again, you cannot blame your sin on Adam. Jesus proves that. Another thing I want to remind Charlie to answer in his next speech is why did Adam sin the first time? Because he says that we sin because of our sinful nature, yet Adam sinned and he didn't have a sinful nature. Did he, Charlie? Before the first sin, he did not have a sinful nature. That's according to Charlie Pratt. And then, one other passage I brought up, Charlie, that you did not respond to is Deuteronomy 32, verse 5. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Why are people corrupt? Is it because of Adam? No. It says they have corrupted themselves. So I urge you, as I've done the first two nights, please accept what the Bible clearly says. Don't swallow this modified version of Calvinistic doctrine because it's not taught anywhere in the Bible. It is never taught in the Bible that you can blame Adam for your sin. Let's go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 18 and read that one more time. Ecclesiastes chapter 18, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Doesn't that teach that we don't get anything from our forefathers in the sense of sin, as Charlie is talking about? Doesn't it teach that? And then, back to Ecclesiastes 7:29. God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. If we are made with a sinful nature, why is Ecclesiastes 7:29 in the Bible? You know, people can claim to believe in Jesus, but if they don't believe what he says, then do they really believe in Jesus? It's sort of like a surface belief, isn't it? If you claim to be a follower of God, you can't just say, I follow God, but then reject what his word says. You can't say, I'm a follower of God, yet I don't believe the verse that says that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. You can't take a contrary view to that. You have to accept it. I urge you to do that. Why would you want to follow a man? I love Charlie Pratt. But why would you want to follow a man or any man like Charlie when he's not preaching what the Bible says? Remember we pointed out that the Bible is like a roadmap to heaven. Now, we're in the city of Knoxville, Tennessee. And if you want to know how to get to Birmingham, somebody tells you to go south on I-75, if I remember right, that's how you get there. And you go north, will you end up in Birmingham? You'll end up in the very opposite place. So if you don't follow the Bible on this and other things, then you won't end up in the right place. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, the Bible says, Jesus became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Are you willing to obey what these verses say? Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. In Matthew 15, verse 9, Jesus said, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. The commandment and the doctrine of a sinful nature, getting it from Adam, that's all a commandment of men. That means that if we accept, believe, practice that, our worship will be in vain. Can we go to heaven if our worship is in vain? Obviously not. And then another verse I would like you to consider along these lines is 2 John verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. This is saying you don't abide in the doctrine, the teaching of Christ. You don't have God. Can you go to heaven if you don't have God? No. The doctrine of Christ says that God hath made man upright. The doctrine of Christ shows that Jesus did not have a sinful nature. He didn't sin, and we were made just like him. Therefore, we don't have a sinful nature. And if you don't abide in that teaching of Christ, you don't have God. You can't go to heaven. So I urge you, with all love and with all due respect, to please accept what the Bible clearly says on this subject tonight. Thank you very much.